Hello and welcome to the Happy Baby Podcast. We recently visited the Down Syndrome Centre Cork on Forge Hill to meet Joanne Hegarty from Ballinoe in East Cork. Joanne is a mum of four and parent of Olivia, age 7, who has Down Syndrome and who avails of the services at the Down Syndrome Centre Cork. As well as being a busy mum and recently returning to college, Joanne volunteers at the centre and runs their social media. The Down Syndrome Centre on Forge Hill in Cork City was established in 2014 by a group of parents who could not find support or services for their children. 8 years later, the centre provides vital intervention services to young children with Down Syndrome and their families. The centre has a wonderful home-from-home atmosphere where families feel relaxed and the children can thrive. It is so important to have a welcoming community where parents and families can share their experiences and support each other. The Down Syndrome Centre Cork is an incredible charity, but they do not have any government funding and they rely entirely on fundraising to deliver essential services like occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, early intervention programmes, as well as parent and baby classes. They also run events for siblings and networking events for parents. The fact that it is so successful is a testament to the centre, the families and the supporters and their fundraising efforts over the last 8 years. So again, thanks to Joanne, who speaks to us very openly about the centre itself and her experience of being a parent of a child with Down Syndrome.
Joanne, you're very welcome to the podcast. Can you tell us about yourself, Joanne, and how you became involved with the Down Syndrome Centre in Cork?
So just a small bit about myself. My name's Joanne Hegarty. I'm from a small village in East Cork called Ballinoe, and I have four kids, Kate, Olivia, James and Owen. And Olivia is 7 and she also has Down Syndrome. Just wanted to thank you, Frank, too, for this opportunity. When I saw the message from Rose on Instagram, my first initial thoughts were, oh no, this isn't for me. I'm not the best public speaker, as you'll hear. And this is something that's totally out of my comfort zone. But I suppose after a while, then I thought, why not me? I'm a parent of a little girl with Down Syndrome. I just hope I can do it justice and highlight what the centre does and all the positive things that the centre does.
And have you been involved with the centre from the very beginning, Joanne?
Initially, when Olivia came home from the hospital, it was a bit of a learning curve, a huge shock. And after a few months, then you kind of came around to it, the diagnosis, that is. And I suppose at that stage, you really wanted was to meet other people or other parents who had been in similar situations that you could talk to and would understand your feelings and about the diagnosis and the things that were happening with your baby were happening with them. It was only word of mouth then how you got to know other parents, like Mary in the next village over maybe had a baby with Down Syndrome. That's how you linked together with other parents. Now, even though that was only 7 years ago, things have changed and there's WhatsApp groups now and Facebook groups and there's more support groups out there now for families. Parents had gone to the centre in Dublin. There's a Down Syndrome Centre in Dublin and come back to Cork. We were saying that all these amazing things that the centre in Dublin were doing for children with Down Syndrome. And I suppose what we wanted to do the same in Cork because there wasn't many services or supports for young children with Down Syndrome in Cork. And we actually met in a school hall down in Ballygarvan and we're all parents from different backgrounds and different parts of the county and we came together and I suppose we all had the same goal. We wanted to provide our kids with supports and services to help them to be the best that they could be because that's all we want for any of our kids and they weren't available through the HSC services at the time.
How long ago did that happen then?
Yeah, I suppose that was 6 years ago now. Right. It was just parents who met and the centre isn't just parents. I suppose it's more of a community, you know, it's siblings are very involved, grandparents, aunts and uncles. It's the extended community as well who make the centre what it is.
Talking about Olivia now, so Olivia is how old now?
She's 7, nearly 8.
And has she been using the services for quite a few years at this stage?
Yeah, so initially when the centre opened, I suppose she was maybe 1.5 or 2. And at that stage, I suppose for a baby with Down Syndrome, the first thing they need is physiotherapy. Because when a baby is born with Down Syndrome, sometimes people might say they're floppy or they have low muscle tone. So it takes a baby with Down Syndrome a lot longer to learn how to roll over, to stand, to walk. you know, you'd be surprised the amount of effort and hard work that child has put in to get up on their feet. So that was the first therapy she used. But she also uses occupational therapy, which is for the finer motor skills, you know, like zips and buttons, very small things, but very important in life skills and starting school. These are all things children need to know. Opening a lunchbox, holding a pen, you know, small things that take a child with Down syndrome a lot longer to learn.
And make a big difference, don't they, when they learn those skills?
Oh, yeah. They can be more independent and then more included in school and in society. She also goes to speech and language. I suppose speech and language is a big one for children with Down syndrome, and not just children, teenagers and adults. It's probably one of the areas they struggle with most, because I suppose you have speech and language, which is two different things. And because a child with Down syndrome would have a smaller mouth and their, you know, their tongues might be bigger, so they're, you know, the mechanics is different. You're dealing with that. You're dealing with the low muscle tone. And then on top of that, they have an intellectual disability. So it takes a child with Down syndrome, not all children, because, you know, there's a wide spectrum of children with Down syndrome, as there is in any group of children. A lot of children with Down syndrome would take that a bit longer to learn how to talk. A child with Down syndrome, just because they can't speak, like Olivia would have limited words, but just because she can't speak doesn't mean she has nothing to say. You know, they can communicate in other ways if given that chance and that opportunity. They say it takes 10 seconds for a child with an intellectual disability to process what you're saying to them. And I think we can all afford to give that child 10 seconds, you know, for them to communicate, even if it's just a smile or a wave, you know, small, simple things. You know, communication is huge for all of us, you know.
And the communication, if, say, a person has limited speech, do they learn like sign language or a type of sign language that they can use?
They learn LOV, and it's actually LOV Day is today. And there's a new show out on RTE Junior, and it's the first show that shows sign language for children, you know, with Down syndrome, and not just Down syndrome, but other conditions who would learn true love.
Well, that's very good. And that's happening today on RTE.
Yeah, it's RTE Junior. It's a children's programme.
Brilliant.
But it's, you know, it's a big change. There was nothing like it before. So this is hopefully the start of other things that will include children with disabilities and highlight, you know, these small things that they could do in the classroom. Other kids can sign, is huge for children, you know.
That's really good to hear. So that's new information, which is great for parents, really. And what other services are available at the centre now, Joanne? You've mentioned a few of them.
Great. We have early intervention groups, which would be preschool groups for children with Down syndrome, just to give them an hour and a half once a week of an opportunity to experience what it would be like in a preschool setting.
And what happens there?
They'd be teaching them, taking off their coats, hanging them on the hook, opening your lunchbox, tabletop activities, sitting down to task, all small things that might take a child with Down syndrome a tiny bit longer to learn. But, you know, when they're starting school, you know, to give them a bit of a helping hand and get them used to it, going to these groups once a week is a massive benefit to these children. And we also do sibling groups, which are huge because... Yeah. When you think about it, these siblings are going to know each other realistically for the rest of their lives, you know, because a sibling with Down syndrome grows, you know, they'll be going to different events and seeing other siblings. And it's nice to link in and to see where they are and, you know, the things that they might be worried about, another sibling could be worried about, you know.
So they'd have a group, a sibling group, where they could talk about their brother or sister with other siblings from other sort of families. Okay, that's good, yeah. And as you said, highlight maybe some of their concerns, but also the positive things.
Anything. And, you know, the centre isn't just for the child with Down syndrome. That was, I suppose, one thing we really wanted to do was make it the family centre, not just a centre for the child with Down syndrome.
Yeah, you definitely get that feel when you walk in that it is very much a family orientated centre. Absolutely. Yeah.
They also offer play therapy. Lisa is a qualified play therapist. Counselling, I suppose, would be important too, you know, for parents to talk about their feelings. Because I suppose Down syndrome, especially when they're born, is seen as such a negative. And when you have no experience of it, and everyone is telling you, you know, from the moment they're born, the first sentence usually from the doctor is, "I'm sorry." It can be very negative. And especially if you don't know anyone with Down syndrome, you probably have all these stereotypes and, you know, ideas of what it will be like. But I suppose to talk to someone who will show you what it is like. And, you know, those feelings change over time. And you're after having a baby as well. you know, you've all those hormones.
Yes.
So it's nice to talk to someone and to know that you're not crazy, or these feelings are valid for you, and that's okay too.
Is that sort of the full range of services that you have there then?
Well, we do baby and toddler groups. Like I said, for new all parents, right. It's important to link in with new parents, because these are the groups of friends that you'll have forever. And I can honestly say that the friends I've met are friends I know that I'll have for the rest of my life, you know.
Very good.
We do dance classes and swimming lessons, parent support groups.
Gosh, there's a really broad range, isn't there, of services?
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. And if a parent wanted to do something, you know, or they had an idea, they can bring it to the centre, you know, because I suppose we're all learning.
Yes.
And if someone had an idea that, you know, this might work, then that it would be looked at, you know, the centre is for everyone and it's run by everyone as well.
So everybody chips in, so to help.
Yeah, it's very much a community-based organisation, and everyone has the same say. You know, there's not a hierarchy. Everyone is the same there. And whether you come once a month or once a week, everyone, you know, has the same
value, really.
Value, yes.
But when you walk in here, there's a wonderful ethos of positivity in the centre, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like you're focusing, as you said, on persons' abilities rather than their disabilities.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. And was that instinctive, or was it planned from the start when you opened the
centre? I suppose it was kind of instinctive in the terms of when you have a child with disability, it's all the negative, very doom and gloom. And when you're filling out forms, it's always based on what they can't do, what they aren't doing, what they won't do. It's never the positives. And as a parent, when you come up here, we wanted somewhere where people could come, and it was about ability and what they can do and their goals and, you know, their potential, because it's there in all of us.
Absolutely.
And if we start early and we give them the resources and the therapies and show them what they can do in terms of in the future, that they could be valuable, they will be invaluable members of society.
100%.
If we invest in children when they're younger.
Yeah, no, that's very good. In terms of, because it's very honest, and I think you do look at somebody's abilities. I think that's the key thing, that you see the person first and the disability second.
And
I've always thought that, because I've worked in services many, many years ago as well, and I think you have to look at the person first.
Yeah, and this is a house when they were looking for a building.
And it does look like a house, doesn't it? Yeah,
they didn't want a sterile, clinical feel about it, you know?
Yeah.
They wanted somewhere where you could come and it would be positive. Like many parents, myself included, have left appointments being told all the things my child isn't doing. You know, and you don't get that here. And people don't leave crying or upset.
Yeah.
They leave happy. And you can come up here with your other children. You don't even have to have a therapy session. If you want, you can just come up and meet other parents. Coffee morning, especially for newer parents, are hugely important, because that's what they want. They want the support of other families and other parents. And this is somewhere you can come and we offer that.
And so, as regards the services available, when they're available, does that happen on an ongoing basis? So you mentioned when Olivia was very small and you brought her here, and she's still coming here?
Yeah.
And so do they, that those services are available like for 5 or 6 years?
For as long as they need them. Yeah.
Okay.
We would never say no to a child.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's very important for parents to come to access this therapy as they feel their child needs, without the barriers of we can't give you an appointment for 6 months.
All right, okay.
You know, you come here, you get an appointment within a few weeks.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah, and if you need a follow-up appointment, absolutely, we can offer you that.
Okay, that's really important, isn't it? So you're getting the continuity over time.
Yeah.
As you said, the physiotherapy, the OT, the speech and language, all really important in the early years.
And there's no point in giving someone, like the HSE, a speech and language therapy once every 18 months. That's useless, you know?
That doesn't work.
No.
It's about the continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. And this has a cost to it.
Oh, a huge cost.
Yeah, so how do you fundraise?
Keane Desmond is the chairperson here, and he once said the bank balance is like a roller coaster. It goes up and down. I'd say you need nerves to see it, to look at it every month, you know?
Right.
So we get no government funding whatsoever. It's hard then, because it's a lot of pressure on families, families who already have enough to deal with.
And what about lottery funding and stuff?
Yeah, we've applied for grants. We're lucky in some ways. We will qualify for some grants. And mostly though, it's fundraising. It's We did a couple of big fundraisers a year, and then we have the small ones like the coffee mornings,
yes,
and the tractor runs and the people who do the marathon and things like, yeah, that. And they're the ones that keep us going, and they're the ones that kept us going during COVID. All, yeah, these small fundraisers you might think are insignificant are the fundraisers that keep the centre going, that put the lights on, that keep us providing therapy for children without saying, oh, we mightn't be able to afford that. That's never a sentence I've heard here in 6 years.
Well, that's outstanding, really. Yeah. But it's hard work, isn't
it? It's hard on families because it's all volunteers. Like, we have the therapists and we have Lisa. You met Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa's the centre manager, and she's the backbone of the centre.
Okay.
It's a job for Lisa in terms of, you know, she doesn't have a child with Down syndrome, but you never feel like that with her. You know, I could text her at 11:30 at night and she'll message me back. You know, it's more than a job.
It's dedication.
Yeah.
And
and we're very grateful for her. And
yeah,
she is the backbone of the centre. And Rachel is the other girl. She does all the appointments and stuff. And I'd say it's not an easy job trying, because kids with Down syndrome might be prone to sickness.
Indeed.
And they have school and other appointments to try and fit it all in and to slot it all in to make it work. And she does that.
That's really good. So how many volunteers are in the centre then? Do parents come in and volunteer to do different things?
Yeah, parents have been, because I suppose they see if I don't volunteer, that would put pressure on other parents to help out. And if we all do our small bit, it'll all keep ticking away.
Absolutely.
And everyone's child will benefit. And it's as I said before, it's the small things that amount up to the big things that pay for the therapy.
Absolutely. And how many kids, do you know how many kids attend at the moment overall?
I'd say there could be up to 80 children, yeah, at least, because the average in Cork is 30 babies a year with Down syndrome.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
An average 400, one baby every 444 births, I think, in Ireland.
Okay.
So an average 30 then in Cork.
30 in Cork.
Yeah, and even in COVID, you know, you wouldn't have seen anyone in 2 years, and now you're seeing all these new faces coming. And
yeah,
it's lovely.
It's lovely.
And they all group together then, because you want that bond with kids around, and they're going to grow up together too.
Absolutely.
And their siblings are going to know each other. And Joey provide sibling groups and coffee mornings. Because we want it to be not just about the child, or this child is going up there again. They want it to be about the siblings too, that can come up and use the centre.
And as you said, you get great support from the families who are coming to the centre, and you're chatting to other parents and siblings. And there seems to be a great support.
Yeah, and experience too.
Yes,
yeah,
of course.
Like,
yeah,
some simple things like breastfeeding. A lot of people might say a child with Down syndrome won't breastfeed. That's not the case. And if you have the support of another mother who's been there, done that,
absolutely,
it gives you confidence to keep going. Or if you're struggling, I suppose, accepting a diagnosis. If you're talking to someone 6 months on, you can see, look, they seem to have got through it, and this is what they did that worked for them, then I might be okay too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's a process that, with that support, it can give you that helping hand to work through.
Because Down syndrome, I suppose, is perceived as this negative. Like, even from the time they're born, you're usually told in such a negative manner. And it was, and I wouldn't have known anyone with Down syndrome before Olivia was born. I had all these I thought my life was over, you know. I thought I'd never go on holidays again, that she'd be a bird. You know, you have all these negative things. But when you're living it, it's completely different.
Absolutely, because you're getting the support that you need.
Yeah.
That's very important. Tell me, what would be your hope for the centre, like, in terms of the future of it? What would you like to happen next? Funding, obviously, more funding.
More reliable funding, that it would just be based on, or put back on the families. Like, and it's to no fault of the centre, you know.
Yeah.
People understand that to get therapy, you have to pay for therapy.
Of course.
And it doesn't come out of a tree, you know. We have to go, and it's hard, I suppose, to ask people again and again and again.
Yeah.
But that does get easier. I've been 7 years.
Right.
It does get easier, but it's hard to ask people. And you have a small baby at home. 50% of babies with Down syndrome have heart issues.
So
the last thing they want to be doing is a coffee morning, you know. So it's hard, but I suppose funding is a big thing for us. I suppose we'd like to expand, we'd like to offer more services here. Because when we started, like you saw, the back in the garden,
that
wasn't
huge,
available now.
Yeah,
and we didn't really need it because we didn't have the children we have now then.
Yeah.
But because the numbers have grown, the demand is more on the building and on the rooms. Like, it's full here every day,
is
all
it?
Day, every day, yeah.
And do kids Like there was a kitty in this morning now who was going to preschool. So she came in here for a little bit and then goes to preschool.
Yes.
So you have that flexibility with kids who are attending sort of preschool to still come in. And
yeah, and we offer preschool groups because through the new HSC model, the Progressive Disability Service, they closed all the preschools for children with intellectual disabilities. We used to offer kids to go to mainstream
preparation.
And they closed all those and they redistributed the staff back into these CDNTs, Children's Disability Network teams.
Okay.
So here a child can come up here one day a week for 3 hours, or about 3 hours, and they get access to a preschool setting. And that's what you want, because a lot of people, I suppose, they aspire to send their kids to mainstream.
Yeah.
And if they're given the supports when they're smaller, it's easier, you know, if you're sending a child to mainstream.
Because of those skills, doesn't
it? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that it makes that transition to preschool a little bit easier
for them. Even simple things like putting on your coat and zipping it up to give them a bit of a boost to start school, opening their lunch boxes and things like that.
Yeah.
Small things
that
it might take a child with Down syndrome that bit longer to learn, but, you know, because the groups are small, they can help them and form a habit with them before they start school.
That's a great service to provide. And I'm surprised that it was stopped, that because that seems a very important thing to integrate.
Yeah,
kids
and
into
it's good for
system.
Families too.
Yeah, of course.
For parents to say, we'll go for a coffee while they're here, you know. And that was all just taken away.
Okay.
I could talk forever about
that. No, because look, there's responsibility here nationally, really, from the Department of Health to really look at these services in a huge way, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I hear this on the radio stations every day.
And we all know about it.
We
all
know
about the Children's Disability Service.
It's time people
stepped
up, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose
people
think it doesn't affect me. So, look, you had the child, that's your problem, that's your business. But it's not. It's all of our...
It's a national responsibility.
Yeah, because in 10 or 15 years, these children are going to be young adults.
Indeed.
And because we didn't invest in them as young children, their opportunity to communicate, to get a job, to be valuable members of society will be gone, or at least reduced.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are small things that we can do now that won't cost us that much.
But
when, if someone's sitting at home, you know, because they can't get a job,
absolutely,
that's going to cost the state a lot more money. I think they're very short-sighted in how they view
They need to have a long-term view, don't they, really, in terms of investing now to provide people with that independence to go out into the world and do what they want to do. Because everybody should have that opportunity.
Mm.
Everybody should. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
And I've worked in disability services myself a long time ago and trained in Cope Foundation, and I completely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's so important that we have a national conversation about this and really, you know, push it, because I think it's what's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
And I don't think there should be the stigma around disability or having a child with disability as a negative. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not all sunshine and unicorns. It can be hard, but it's the fighting that's the hard part. It's the fighting for services, for integration, for respect, for people not to look at them as less.
No, I completely hear you in that regard, because I think you have to see the person first and provide the services so that you give them absolutely every opportunity. Is there any final message you have now for us? No.
Well, I suppose if you see someone with a disability and Down syndrome, I always say this, Down syndrome makes an awful first impression because it's the first thing you see. But to see a person as more than their disability is very important. And I have 4 kids and none of them see. Olivia is less.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a sister to a brother and a sister, and she's part of
the
family.
And I think it's great for siblings. You know, people might say it's a burden. Like, I think they'll grow up and they'll be more empathetic.
Absolutely.
They'll be kinder. They'll know things. You know, I didn't know anyone with a disability growing up. And I think it can only be a good thing for them to have.
Absolutely.
Understanding, empathy.
Yeah. Respect.
And not see difference as less.
And not see difference. Absolutely not see the
difference. Yeah, because my daughter goes to a special school, St. Paul's in Montanelli.
Yes,
I know. It's a fantastic school, brilliant school.
Great service,
Yeah, and I remember even like school places for children with disabilities in this country is another...
another ball game.
But she was, the year she started, there was 40 kids on the list and 3 places.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you can imagine the stress that that places on families. We were very fortunate,
yes,
to get her in. And during the summer, they had a family day. And I remember talking to my husband, Ian, like, should we talk to my kid? My oldest is 9, okay. Kate, and then I have a 6-year-old. Should we talk to them about seeing other kids with disabilities that are going to be out in the yard, you know, people in wheelchairs and walkers? Yeah. And we said, no, we won't. And we went up. It didn't faze them. They didn't think anything. And they didn't talk about it afterwards as a negative or, you know, they just saw them as kids.
That's a message as well, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if the services nationally thought in that way,
yeah.
The innocence of it, but also we're all playing together,
yeah,
we're all doing the things together.
Yeah, we're all the same.
We're all the same.
And maybe things will take you a little longer, but so what? Are we in a rush?
Do you think, like, in the future that the centre will expand in terms of the location and the number of kids you're accommodating now is very large, and staff and stuff. Like, what are your hopes for the future, I suppose?
I suppose the centre, you'd hope it grows with the kids and it doesn't leave anyone behind, but it grows with the kids that are there. You know, that there'll always be a place for the children coming and the children growing. You know, the centre, I suppose, funding, it's all down to money, isn't it? Like everything in life. And the more money, if we had money, we could do more things. But what money we have, we do so much. But it is down to the funding we have. We allocate it as best we can. If we had more money, we could do much more, you know.
And what would your message be to the Department of Health if you were able to sit in front of the Minister for Health and have a conversation?
Well, Anne Rabbit did come to the centre actually a few weeks ago. She looked around and I suppose she said all the things, the right things, but whether anything will happen, I don't know. What could I say to her? I suppose to see what we're doing that you're not doing, and what we're doing with so little money, the amount of money that she has, she could do so much more with it. If she listened to parents, listened to the therapist in particular, you know, and provide the services where they're needed, which is on the ground, you know. She knows well that the services are lacking in every area of the country, particularly in Cork. Not a secret. Everyone knows that. Do the government have enough, you know, want to change it? I don't know.
Willpower, really, to
willpower,
try and make the change, isn't it?
And no one knows what's around the corner for any of us. You know, I knew nothing
indeed.
About Down syndrome 7-8 years ago. And we all know, everyone knows that there's a lack of, the way children's disability services are ran isn't good. Like, and just because it doesn't affect you doesn't mean it never will. You could have a grandchild or a niece or nephew, you know, no one knows what's around the corner, but you want to know that when you need the services, they will be there. But at the moment, they're not.
Thanks, Joanne, and everyone involved with the Down Syndrome Centre Cork for welcoming us to the centre and sharing your experiences. If you would like to get involved with fundraising for the centre, or if you are a parent who is looking for support, you can contact the centre on 021 491 5616. We will finish with this beautiful quote from Joan Ryan. Motherhood is about raising and celebrating the child you have, not the child you thought you would have. It's about understanding that they are exactly the person they are supposed to be, and that, if you're lucky, they just might be the teacher who turns you into the person you are supposed to be. Thanks for listening to the Happy Baby Podcast.